something on Daf Lamed Zayin. We've gotten up to Lamed Vav on the base, I think, right?
Yeah.
3 lines from the bottom. Gufa. The Rav Shmuel Damit Avayu, Kol Sheyeshbo, Mechameshet Haminim, Mevorchim Alav Borei Minim Zonot. We started the sugi yesterday about what we do with, we were talking about something which was like a granola bar and so on, where you mix things with corn syrup and you have flour and oatmeal and so on in it. So we said yesterday that if you have a significant ingredient, a Chameshet Haminim, that subsumes everything else, is considered to be the ikar, even though it may not be the most prevalent ingredient. So let's take a look more at that today. Rav Shmuel, we quoted yesterday, saying, now we have a variant of this in which Rav Shmuel said, it seems at a level to be contradictory. And obviously, if something even has ingredients of Chameshet Haminim, if you say Mizonot, and Koshken, if it is Chameshet Haminim, without being mixed with anything else, it would be Borei Minim Mizonot. And so the Gemara is wondering why we have both of these Lashonot. And says, actually, we need both. Because Iyashmin and Kosher, had we only been told what is Kosher who Mechameshet Haminim, Avamina Mishum de Itibi Inne, obviously I would have come to the conclusion that it's a reference to where that is the ingredient, not where it's mixed with other things and only is a significant ingredient. So therefore I must know also, Avalaya Deta Arovet Lo, I would have thought if it's not the ingredient then not, so I must know the other one. Kamashman Koshi Yeshpo, whatever has Chameshet Haminim. But on the other hand, suppose he would have said what appears to us to be enough, namely, Koshi Yeshpo. There is an implication which would have been misleading. Why? Because I would have said like this. The statement Koshi Yeshpo v'Chameshet Haminim is mashma that it's limiting the brocha borei minim zonot to Chameshet Haminim. But if it's something else, for instance, let's say it's made out of rice. Rice is not from the Chameshet Haminim. Therefore, we would say that there is no birkat mizonot on it, right? But since the case where we said this and its implication that there would be no brocha on rice of borei minim zonot is dafka in a case where Koshi Yeshpo, meaning where there is a lot of other ingredients, and this is an important ingredient. We said, okay, rice in that case is excluded. One.
What amount?
Only anything that is made of Chameshet Haminim, we would say in English. Or, here's the two statements. Anything that contains Chameshet Haminim, A. Anything that is made of Chameshet Haminim, B. Right. So you would have thought if it says A, there's no point in mentioning B. However, there is a point because of the implication. Suppose it had only said anything which contains Chameshet Haminim, you say Borei Minim is a not. Implication is, if it's not Chameshet Haminim, you don't say Borei Minim is a not. But where we're talking about containing. But if it's of, so something is made of rice, then maybe you do say Borei Minim is a not. So I need to have the other case that's only, and the same thing would be true if it's made entirely of. So it's even where it's made entirely of rice, I still don't make Borei Minim is a not. So therefore, one is for its implication, and one is for its content. So therefore, let's see that inside. Yes, mina koshi yeshbo. Have a mina koshi yeshbo chameshet haminim in aval. Then now the implications are that if it's something else, such as orez v'docha, now lemaisa, in the way the halacha has ended up, not according to Rashi, is that orez is in fact rice, so this brings here. And dochan is what we call in English millet. Here it's actually marketed as docha. And these both are excluded. Rashi does not have rice as being one of these things. He rather has orez. He thinks that orez is what we call millet. And dochan is a subspecies of our, of what we call docha. And orez wasn't in the running, according to Rashi. However, most learn, as I said, the way Tosfos does, that's the way we paskin halacha-wise, that whatever we're going to discuss here is about rice. Dochan is a question, bichlal, whether it should be mentioned in the sugya. There are gersaot that don't include dochan at all, and it's been dragged in here because in other areas it's put together. And we'll talk about that when we get to the halachic implications and what the whole meaning over here is. Why is ores similar to chameshet haminim and so on? But as we know, and we're going to see later on, as we know, there's the famous shita that you can eat matzah made out of dochan, out of ores. So, in other words, that it's mamish considered to be a mindogan, that you'd be chayav kores for eating rice that had risen. Okay, all of that we're discussing sakhi, but we'll see it here again in terms of brochas. So the implications, therefore, I would have thought was dafka mishum daidei tarovet. The only reason I'm not making a birkat mizonot on it is because it's mixed with other things. How, what about if it's an actual rice cake? I would have thought that I should make borei minei mizonot even on that. Therefore, it comes along to tell me, even when it's not mixed with anything else, even where you have a pure rice cake, Lo mevarchinan barei minei mezonot. Is that really true? Or is it dochen? Lo mevarchinan barei minei mezonot. Vatzanya hevil lefanav pat orez. U pat dochen. Mevarach alav techila besof ki maaseh ki deira. Now, maaseh ki deira means things that you were from the Chamesh Aminim that you cooked up like a kugel or like a cereal or something that's cooked in a pot instead of baked in an oven. Spaghetti. I mean, so all of those things are obviously barei minei mezonot. You're telling me now that I'm supposed to eat pot orez. Albeit I haven't boiled, let's say, this orez. Telling me I made it into tzur of a pot, okay. So it's telling me I'm supposed to treat it the way I would treat real grain that was boiled, but that's still berei minei mezonot. You're claiming I don't even say berei minei mezonot. It says, b'feirush gavei ma'asek de ratanya, b'tchila nevarek olav berei minei mezonot, ula b'sof nevarek olav beracha achat ve'im shalosh. So here you're telling me that rice does require a berei minei mezonot when it's on its own, and you're learning that the whole reason that we said Rav and Shmuel's statement separately about rice, I mean about the Chamesh Aminim that are not mixed with other ingredients, is the doctor to let me know not to make a borei minei mezonot on the rice, which means that the braita seems to be a tiyufta on Rav and Shmuel. Answers the Gemara, well now wait a minute, it says mevarech alav techila v'sof, like ma'aseh keder, now like means in certain ways similar to, but that means it's similar to it, but it's not precisely the same. I mean, it's not kemaisa kedera in every way, so it's kemaisa kedera, but look, kemaisa kedera, it's kemaisa kedera in some sense, namely, the mevorchim alav techila v'sof. At least we make our bracha on it, and we make a bracha, an opening bracha and a closing bracha. That yes, but it's not like ma'aseh kedera completely, below ma'aseh kedera, because bilu ma'aseh kedera, if it were actually cereal, let's say, we would say two brachot, but what would those brachot be? Borei minei mezonot, and the lebesof, we would say bracha achat mein shalosh, which is our alamechia. Whereas ilohata, although we're making a bracha tchila besof, it's not that bracha, it's shakoni evid varon, borei nefashot rabot v'chesonan ha'komasha bara. It's a rather stretched explanation. And we're going to question it further. Once again, you're saying orez lav ma'aseh kedera. So what do you do with the following? Tanya, Elohim ma'aseh kedera. All of the following types of cereal would be considered. These are cooked cereals, and they would be chilga, tirgas, the solet. Many take out. It doesn't really belong here. We're talking about here a list of wheat cereal that is made out of finer and finer degrees of wheat. So the chilka is wheat in which basically each grain is cut into two. Tragas, as its name implies, is cut into three.
Yeah. You know, the way you think now, I mean, why is it like drinking water do the same thing?
No, we don't think that at this point. We do that, but not everybody. We'll see later on in the Gemara. Yeah. We're assuming here that we don't make a bracha for drinking water. But that we'll get to. Our son, and that's we're going to now put it into five pieces. Each level over here is a piece of grain finer and finer into cereal. And the thing is, it throws in orez. Now, throwing in orez into a list of wheat cereals doesn't make sense if you don't make a borei minei mezonot, because ma'aseh kedera by definition, we just said was borei minei mezonot, so something is wrong with this. Answers the Gemara, there's nothing wrong with it. It represents the sheet of Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. We know about that sheet. It's had Rav Yochanan ben Nuri on there. Orez min daganu, v'chayavim al chimutso karet, v'adam yotzei bo chavato b'pesach. Now, that's a dat yachid. Thank you. That's a dat yachid. He holds, forget about not eating kidneys. He holds orez, you can be yotzei matzah. So that's the other extreme. Of course, on the other hand, if it turns into chametz, it's going to be turned into chametz, you'd be chay of kares, according to Rabban, and it's not a grain at all, and therefore there's no issue of either an iser karef, or of course it would be a joke to try to be yotzei yachid of matzah using rice cakes. So this would make perfectly good sense according to Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, if you're making a rice cereal or rice pudding. So of course you would be making borei minei mezonot. So it lists rice here, according to him, together with your wheaties or your wheatina. I mean, it's all the same thing, according to him. We're talking about according to the Rabbanan. And according to the Rabbanan, we would not make a mezonot on rice. At least that's now the current assertion of the Deacon Rav and Shmuel and the way that they're learning the Braita. Now, all right, let's attack that. You're saying according to the Rabbanan, not? Rabbanan lo? Well, what about this? La Tanya. Hakoseis et achita. The word hakoseis, to be koseis something, means to eat it in a cheap way, not the normal mode of achila. You pick a piece of wheat and you chew it as you go. It's not the kind of thing that you sit down to a table to have a cup of fresh wheat.
Raw.
Yeah, it's raw. So, well, I mean, it doesn't mean everything koseis is raw, but it's eating things in a way before they're fully prepared. So it's not normal achila. We call it kisisa. So kusesa tachi tada. You're chewing gum. You're chewing your chita like chewing gum over here. So mevoreko leha borei pri ha'adama. So at that stage, it's just basically like a vegetable. If you go ahead and you grind it up and you bake it, or after you bake it, you boil it. Bishlo. Now what happens? So this manchap was sot kayamot. If it still is what it was. Now Rashi throughout the sugya understands that the sugya is going to be talking about what we would call a challah kugel, in which you take the challah that's already been baked, you boil it up, mix it with your other ingredients, and then you may bake it again. So the idea over here is that after you boil it, you now are moried the level of the pot. Nonetheless, if the prusot are kayamot, you still see the pieces of bread, they haven't just melted into the mix, then you still say hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz, and at the end you say your full birkat hamazon shalosh brachot. Im ein prusot kayamot, on the other hand, if you don't have now any shape of it, we're going to see what exactly is the extent of prusot kayamot later. So b'tchila mevorech ala borei minei mizonot. So at that point it becomes like a cereal, like a kugel, like a pasta. So you would make a borei minei mizonot, and then you would say bracha achat mein shalosh. Now so far this has nothing to do with what we've been talking about. It's the next piece that's critical. Here it is, akoseis ata orez. Somebody takes now some orez that's raw, or even if it isn't raw, and it's been boiled. I mean, it's just, so he still says oborei pri ha'adama. But if tachano afa'o bishlo, how about if you made bread out of orez and now you cook it up? There afal pisha prusot kayamot, even though you still see the tzura of the bread, b'tchila mevarech alav borei minei mizonot. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're going to tell me, well, okay, maybe this is Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri again, who holds that orez is bread. But according to the Rabbanan, of course, this is laughable. We would never make a borei minei mizonot on rice. That's what you're going to try to tell me. Well, let's think this out. Money. Who do you think is the author of this brayta? Is it Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri? Yoma orez min daganu. So how do you get, if the prusot kayamot now, how do you get that you only make a borei minei mizonot? So according to him, you should again be saying a full motzi lechem min ha'aretz, because I have the prusot kayamot, and I should say shalosh brachot afterwards. So apparently this is going even according to the Rabbanan. And what it's saying is that rice is never going to be, even if prusot kayamot, it's never going to be a borei, lebotzi lechem min ha'aretz, it's going to be a borei minei mizonot. But it will be a borei minei mizonot. That's the thing. So if that's the case, according to the Rabbanan, you're also going to say on rice, now this is going to be very difficult for Rav and Shmuel to get out of, and in fact, to Yufta, the Rav Shmuel to Yufta, this is a checkmate of that sheet. It appears that even the Rabbanan are made, that there certainly are cases where rice is not an ingredient, but it is the ingredient. At least that case, you would say a borei minei mizonot. Now, the extent, by the way, of the difference between koseis on the one hand, which is an extreme, where it's raw, there's been no processing. And the level of processing that is mechayev, the borei minei mizonot, which over here is like all the way, grinding it up and baking it and so on. There are many Rishonim who speak out that that's only because that's the context of the brayta. However, boiling to the extent that the rice sticks now, one piece sticks to the next piece, same thing would be true about the chita. At that point, even though it's raw, perhaps, it's still considered to be a tapshil, a maisa kedera. Others learn, and this is a significant chumra in terms of the din of the bracha, is that as soon as you remove the husk and the upper level of the membrane around the grain, which we do, let's say we have pearl barley. And pearl barley, it's been basically rolled to such an extent that you've rubbed off much of the upper level of the grain. That's already considered to be, according to many shitas, a maisa mizonot minei odei. Forget about what the thing looked like when you cook it up. And according to that, it would be true about rice as well, which means that basically the only time you would be making a borei pri ha'adama on rice is one of these health rices or whole rice or brown rice that's been, not processed, macrobiotic kind of stuff. We're over there, even though you cooked it up, it's still going to be a non-maisa kedera rice, In practical terms, we don't really come in contact with grains that are not processed grains.
I've come with rice noodles, they make...
Rice noodles is the mamish viskamura, where there they actually ground it up and they made it into a thing that's for sure mizonot, according to this, even according to the Rabbanan.
Although afterwards we say Rabbanan.
Yeah, we haven't gotten to that yet. At this point, it looks like on our rice, not only are we saying Barei Minei Mizonot up front, but we're also saying Baruch HaChat Mi'en Shalosh in the end. So we still have some work to do on this, because that's not the halakha. Now, there's another brayta that says that if somebody chews on a raw chita, he makes an interesting bracha, which we never heard of. Borei minei zraim. Because you're eating seeds, after all. And naturally, that's not a problem. Lo kasha, we already have met the shita in the Mishnah that distinguishes between leafy vegetables and non-leafy vegetables. So the shita of Rav Yehuda in the Mishnah is that we need to make on every different type of thing a different type of bracha. We need to zero in on the different elements in defining a bracha. So in the same way that he said there's a bracha of borei minei disha'im on the leafy vegetables, he would agree that there's a bracha of borei minei zra'im on pure seed. So it makes perfectly good sense if it's Rav Yehuda. Or Rav Yehuda bar Rabbanan, it's not. Ala yirakot, in our Mishnah we learned, ala yirakot omer borei ri ha'adama, and Rav Yehuda omer borei minei disha'im. So if that's the case, there's no reason why we should be less makpid in defining the bracha of zra'im as zra'im than defining the leaves as disha'im. It's an interesting question as to what to do after you are kosei sechita. What bracha do you make after being kosei sechita? So yeah, doesn't get a din. I mean, it's chamesh should be made dagan. Are you just going to say borei nefeshot, having eaten dagan? On the other hand, if you make an alamirfya, which alamirfya are you going to say? Because it's not nizonot yet, right? But you can't call it really the sense of mirfya and kalkala, because that's what it isn't. It's only Zorei Priha Adama. It's not a Priha Eitz. So the Rabbeinu Tam actually used to say, Al Perot Adama. As we say, Al Eitz Al Priha Eitz. It's Al Adama Al Priha Adama. But in later years, he changed his mind and said, it's weird that we never heard of this thing. It doesn't say anything like that. I'm making a comparison, but who's to say that such a thing exists as well? You know, it's actually in the Yerushalmi that does the springs over here. They raise the question, and they don't have a solution. And Rabbi Yirmiyah says, well, from the day I find out there's no solution, I stop doing that. I don't know what bracha to make afterwards. Those who suggest over here, you have to make sure to make hamotzi beforehand, to make sure that you were going to be now yotzei with your birkat hamazon, to potter whatever it is that you're eating. Because otherwise, what will you say afterwards? Because these are interesting questions, again, to be gotten. I think we should have maybe even tomorrow, if anybody has time, or if you're willing to spend a little bit of extra time afterwards, to do a special grain day, which we could talk about some of the halachas of the hamotzi and the borei minei mizonot. So that would be nice, as long as it doesn't get in the way of our chazor. People willing to spend a little bit of extra time after that? What do you say? Yeah? I see that enthusiasm all around. It's very often. Yes, indeed. There we go. The internet has now become a substitute for the real thing. Wait a minute. It must be a Baron of Russia. I mean, how could we make up our own bracha?
Bring samples of all the different
things. There you go. For that, we should wait until we get to the child of Zeya the Alma, such as Scotch or those kinds of things. So let's get back to this now. You said if you take orez, you eat it raw, you say a borei pri adama. On the other hand, if you grind it up, bake it, and so on, even though you boil it afterwards, you say a borei minei mizonot, and at the end you say a bracha achat mi'in shalosh. Now, the problem is there's another braita that says you do not say a bracha at the end. The besof v'lo klum, right away. When it says v'lo klum, it doesn't mean v'lo klum. It means v'lo klum in terms of mentioning Eretz Yisrael. Both Birkat Amazon and very clearly the Ala Michya is all involved in Eretz Yisrael. And that's how it relates specifically to Perot Eretz Yisrael. When you have things that are not be Perot Eretz Yisrael, we call it below klum in terms of our, the idea of achalta v'savata v'erachta as Hashem lekecha al ha'aretz ha'tova. The bracha that we make relates to the aretz ha'tova. The fact that we have other brachot before, we have brachot after, that don't relate to Eretz Yisrael, is not, we call that below klum. So it means you'd make, in other words, a borei nefashot, let's say, but it doesn't mean you don't make any bracha. But in any event, certainly it's not a bracha achat mein shalosh. How do you explain that? Says Rav Sheshes, well, couldn't we go back to saying that this is the machlokas of Rabbi Gamliel and the Rabbonim, and Tanya. Zeaklal, kosher mishivat haminim. Rabbi Gamliel holds in general anything from the shivat haminim requires a full birkat hamazon afterward. You say shalosh brachot, which of course is a little problematic, as Tosis points out, because. Because what happens is that Rabbi Gamliel also holds that you have to have a kosher bracha. Okay, now the problem is, as soon as you drink your kosher bracha, since it's mishivat haminim, you now have to say birkat hamazon. Of course, that birkat hamazon will require a kosher bracha, which means that the first time you eat, you never stop, according to Rabbi Gamliel. So he says, what are you supposed to do? Exactly. So he says, look, It must mean that, you know, when you're, the only time that he's mechayev you in Birkat HaMazon is where you have a su'uda that's based on the yayin, meaning the equivalent of a su'uda, kviyut. Not where you're just drinking wine in order that should be molei lugma for kosher bracha. There he has also moda that you'd only say a bracha chatmi in shalosh, or at least that you wouldn't be chayev in zimun. In any event, so getting back to it, so according to Rabbi Gamliel, you're always going to be making shalosh brachot, and according to the Chachonim, you would be making what we call the alamechya, the bracha achat mi'en shalosh, which is really very misleading to call it alamechya, because when it's not mizonot, you don't say alamechya, and it's probably much more correct to use the word that the Gemara and Halacha uses, bracha achat mi'en shalosh. U'maaseh b'Rabbi Gamliel v'azikenim shagim v'subim ba'aliyah b'yericho. And you know, it's interesting, we have so many of these Rabbi Gamliel stories of you know, him getting into arguments and holding different than anybody else. Today's daf of the Yerushalmi is also going to revolve around this. We started the Masechet with Rabbi Gamliel and Ulamaitse. I mean, do we follow you or do we follow the Rabbanan? Are you disagreeing with the Rabbanan? And we went into all those various Mishnayos, Rabbi Gamliel being different than anything. I'm different. For everything, he's different. So here we go again, Rabbi Gamliel. He held that Shtosei Birkat HaMazon. And they brought now dates in front of the Tzibur of the Chachamim. And Rabbi Gamliel gave reshus to Rabbi Akiva to what he thought would be bench. I mean, because he certainly didn't think Rabbi Akiva would have the chutzpah right in front of him to not say Birkat HaMazon on a date the way you're supposed to. Kofatz Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva jumps right in there, doesn't ask any questions, and he gives his bracha chatmi in shalosh. Ala eitzval priya eitz. No zimu, no nothing. Amalei Rabbi Gamliel, boy, this did not sit well with Rabbi Gamliel. Akiva, ad matay ata machnis roshcha bein amachloket. You're told that, why are you sticking your head over here into our arguments? Amalei Rabbeinu, hafa pisha ata omer kein, v'chavirecha omrim kein, limadetenu Rabbeinu, yachid v'rabim alachak rabim. I'm only following your instructions. After all, you taught us to go according to the majority. The majority holds not like you. So therefore, I'm following you and following the majority. Rabbi Yehuda omer mishmo, koshuhu mishivat haminim, velo min dagan. If it's a min dagan, then you have a problem of what happens if you turn it into bread, and then you'd have to make, of course, birkat hamazon. Or even if it's a min dagan, you didn't turn it into bread. Rabbi Gamliel omer shalosh brachot, v'chachamim omrim brachachat. So there, Rabbi Gamliel says, any of the shivas haminim and anything even which is a min dagan that isn't bread, you would still need shalosh brachot. Whereas no, the chacham says, no, in that case, if it isn't bread, you'd only make brachachat. And she'eino lo mishivat aminim, v'lo min dagan, kegon pat orez, v'dochan, there Rabbi Gamliel omer, brachachat min shalosh, v'chachamim omrim, v'lo klum. So there you go, Rabbi Gamliel, l'shitato, holds that in the same way that he's machmer on the shivat aminim to require birkat hamazon, so too is he machmer on orez to require the so-called ala michya. But according to the Chachamim, who don't say that you need Birkat HaMazon on Shivat HaMinim, they would agree that you only say a Barei Nefeshot after Ores. So that explains the contradiction, says Rav Sheshes. On the one hand, it says, B'l'Bisov V'lo Klum, that's the Chachamim, they all the only say Barei Nefeshot. On the other hand, it said, Acharav Mevarech, the Bracha Achat Mehen Shalosh, that's Rabbi Gamliel. So therefore, there's no problem with this being a stira. Says the Gemara, well, that would be very nice if we could just isolate that particular issue. That would be a good approach. The problem is that there's another contradiction if you want to learn that way. Because Babayu came to, how are you now understanding it? That in that original brayta that we brought, when it says that you make a Bracha Achat Mehen Shalosh afterwards, it's going according to Rabbi Gamliel. That's what you're claiming. The problem is, look back over there again, carefully. What was the last part of the opening of that brayta, remember? It said, "Im ein haprusot kayamot." What do you do when you're making you're putting that bread into a boiling pot? You let it cook in the water, and it said over there, "Well, if you can't see the pieces of bread anymore, at that point you make a bari min mizonot, and b'sof your mavarek bracha achat mein shalosh." Now you're going to try to tell me that's wrong, Leo, because that's all part of the same brayta. Okay, you're claiming that brayta that says that on rice you're supposed to say an ala mechya is Rabbi Gamliel. The problem is that the first part can't possibly be Rabbi Gamliel. Because if you're going to tell me that Rabbi Gamliel, hashtag kotavot vadaisa, I mean, even if you've got a date or you've got some cereal, some wheatina, according to Rabbi Gamliel, you're going to be making a birkat hamazon after it. You're telling me if you took real bread and you put it into a pot and boiled it, now it's going to be less than a date? And for some reason it would go down to Alamichi over there? You know, it's less than making wheatina? Where the wheatina was never pot. I mean, over here, at least it had the chashivut of pot initially. It's saying, okay, it lost its special chashivut of pot by losing the tzura of the lechem. Okay, fine. So now it's cereal. No. Let's say it's even all the way down to being just cereal. No. So what? But I thought, according to Rabbi Gamliel, cereal requires a birkat amazon. So this can't be Rabbi Gamliel. Now we're going to have to say that it's the Rabbanan. If it's the Rabbanan, Kasha de Rabbanan, Ader Rabbanan. On the one hand, it said, you make a bracha achat mehen shalosh. And on the other hand, it said, v'acharav b'lo klum. And we do not know of a third shita that would account for this. There's no choice but to change the gears. Otherwise, we can't make up another shita. Li'olam Rabbanan. Utni gabi orez, ulubisof enam avarechalav b'lo klum. Because, we had mixed a lot of things together over there. So take the orez out and say, in terms of orez, enafinami, you only make a borena fashot afterwards. Omar Rabba, hay riatat chakloi. This riatat chakloi we spoke about before, we called chavitz kedera, which is where we mix things with corn oil or with the honey and so on. It's essentially a sugared bar that we create that has in it grain, oatmeal, with oatmeal bars. Yeah, those kind of things. So it depends, said Rabba, how they're made. The chakloi, when they do it on the farm, they don't go in for the heavily sugared stuff on the farm. You know, they go in for hearty what do you call those bars? Granola. Party kind of granola bars, which has a lot of kemach in it, and they make a boremi name is onot. Why? My time, the semidai ikar, there the grain content, the flour content, is the ikar of the bar. But, you know, in Mechuza, that was the equivalent of our L.A. These guys that live in the big cities, all they think about is they're sweet too, So they're lo ma'apshi, they keep a chah. There they mix mostly the sugars and the corn syrup, then the varechal of shakol ni'abit varo. My time, aduf shayikah, the honey is the main thing for them. But then Rava realized he made a mistake, because that was based on the normal understanding of ikar v'tafel, which would require the amount of ingredient. So therefore he was saying, look, since if you take a look on the ingredients, the first ingredient is corn syrup. Of course, they never do it that way. They mix different things that are all basically different sugars. But that way, no sugars up front. You got corn syrup is one thing, sugar is another thing, honey is another thing. So they're the second, third, or fourth ingredient, and then fructose. That's right. So basically, you don't realize you're eating 90% sugar. But lamaisa, if according to Rava, initially Rava thought, well, if it's the second ingredient, then it can't be the ikar. But he realized that was a mistake, because Hadaram Rava Idi Boremi name is unknown. Remember the only time we came out before after sin yesterday, Rabin Shul's Aloha. That called there's a unique significance to the grains of the Chamesh Taminim, in which despite their being perhaps in terms of volume or weight not the primary ingredient, they still cast their taste over the entire bar or whatever it is that you're eating. It's always going to be a Boremi name is unknown unless the only function is as a binder. But certainly these bars, they're not just binders for the honey. Therefore, I was wrong, says Rava. You'd have to make a mizonot on any kind of a granola bar. On Rav Yosef, hay chavitza, eat beit pirurim. So now here is where we get into our big our big problem, because there's two ways of learning the chavitza. Rashi actually learns the chavitza is the same issue that we had before, which is basically the chalakugel, what we call the chalakugel, where you're boiling up something in a kedera. A bread pudding kind of thing, yeah. Except that the bread puddings are not necessarily cooked. What you could do with a bread pudding, and actually that's how Tosis learns, is that we're talking about a pudding, because he says, what does that do with pirurim? Here it says, he's baked pirurim kizayit. That's not the point. We said before, and nobody argued with it there, if this was same thing as the sugya before, how come we don't say what we said before? That if it has pusot, couldn't say anything about kizayit, pirurin, and talk about pusot, if the pieces of bread are recognizable. Therefore, says Tosis, we seem to be introducing something entirely different over here. And I think that what we're talking about over here is where you use, let's say, milk or other things. You soak the bread in it, and it expands and ends up making a pudding. But it doesn't have to be boiled. So the boiling itself will take away, without anything else, will take away the tzura pot. That's a different thing. There you need to soak kayomot. Well, you didn't boil it, however. So according to Rashi, you didn't boil it. It's bread. What's there to discuss? According to the Tosafot, you didn't boil it, but soaked it in something else. It takes on a different surah that is going to affect the brocha, as the Gemara is about to explain. So how does it affect the brocha? If you have pieces of it that are the shear of a kizayit, then indeed it remains bread. Now, according to Rashi, it does not remain bread, because he said because he's talking about boiling, if it would be that the case before, right? And we're going to have to say, Tosafot says, I'll leave it to Rashi. We're going to have to understand that Rabbi Yosef is explaining what prusot means. That's what a prusa means. A prusa means, according to Rabbi Yosef, prusa de kezayit. a piece that's the size of a gazelle is bapusa, by definition. Okay? According to Rashi, it doesn't matter whether it has, and assuming that it's talking about a pudding that isn't cooked, so then it doesn't matter. It's always going to be, it's always going to be bread. But according to Tosfos, if it becomes a pudding, then it's not necessarily always bread. If it has a share of a gazelle, then a piece, the one piece of the pudding is a gezayit, so then you know, if you know me, it's bread. You say amotzi lachem in haaretz, you say mevarech b'sof, mevarech alav shalosh brachot, you say birkat hamazon, and so on. However, if you don't have pieces that are the size of a gezayit, then it's basically the same thing as a cereal. And b'tchilah mevarech alav borei menim hizonot, ulu b'sof bracha achat mein shalosh. And I'll prove it to you, says Rabbi Yosef. I'll prove it to you from the dinim of minachot. Now, again, the dinim of minachot, I mean, this doesn't seem to be, we don't boil the minachot. Well, what exactly does Tosfos says? What are we, how, according to Rashi, are we comparing it to minachot? So we could learn that since the minachot now are going to be mixed with oil, so that tikkun itself may be, I don't know, it's the same thing as the pudding kind of thing, perhaps, because of the oil. But in any event, it says over there, so somebody's about to bring a korban mincha, he says, Baruch shechayanu v'kiyamanu v'giyanu lazman hazeh. Now Rashi learns that this is referring to the person, the Yisrael, was bringing the mincha, which Tosfos says, that's crazy. I mean, we never say, omeru makriv. Omeru makriv is always a lashon that you say about a kohen. How can you say omeru makriv on the violin? So Tosfos learns that it's talking about the kohen. Indeed, Rashi elsewhere is talking about a kohen who comes in for the first time to bring a korban. So this is his first time that he's bringing a korban mincha. He says a shechiyanu. Tosfos says, no. Why does that have to be the first time? Since there were 24 mishmarot, turns out you only get a chance to be in there 2 weeks out of the year. I mean, so, you know, you've got a long period in between. We know that when usually 30 days pass, I mean, but certainly when you have a moed, this is the equivalent of a moed. It's a specific time, you know, that this week of the year you're going to be in the Beis HaMikdash. So when you come to Beis HaMikdash, it's like saying a Shechiyanu on your Yom Tov. You're waiting for this Yom Tov. So it means every time that you're back in your Mishmar and you're about to bring your first carbon in that Mishmar, according to Tosfos, you would make a Shechiyanu.
According to Rashi, it's the Israel who brings it. Who makes correct. Yeah.
Not Natlan Lachlan. Now you're about to eat it. You say, I'm Motzi Lachem in Aretz. Now, explain to me, says Rabbi Yosef, what it's like when you're eating it. But Tani Allah, the kulan potetan kezayit. Now, you know, if you have a mincha that you've baked, you have a ma'afei tanur, or some other type of mincha, pancake type of mincha, which is in a machavat, or now that's mitugan. You cannot do kmitza on the whole mincha. You have to first break it up into pieces. So if you take out the pizza, put the kmitza. What is the size of the pieces that you break it up into? The Braita says the size is a kezayit, which means that the only makor that we have for saying hamotzi lechem in is on pieces of a mincha that are a kezayit, and now even though they have been mixed with oil and so on, they're still hamotzi lechem in aretz. Amalei Abaye. So Reb Yosef says Abaye to him. Reb Yosef, according to you, me'ata l'tana devei Reb Yishmol, the Omer Porchanat Shabachzvan Sultan. I mean, not everybody agrees that petita, which is part of the important things that you do for the mincha, breaking up the baked mincha into its.
Not everybody agrees that breaking up the baked mincha.
Not bad. So, according to Rabbi Yishmael, the Shita is that you grind it up, really. You rub it down until it goes back into solid. That's how much because you're going to have to put your hand in it. And you have to crumble it back into so that it's fine, like it was solid. You're telling me that according to him, you don't say how much you like him in arts. That's what you're saying. So, Hakinami, the low boy broke how much you like him in arts. Okay, so you'll say, yeah, maybe. Maybe that's true. B'chitem Hakinami, if you try to tell me maybe that's true, now I back him into a corner. Because it says, B'ferush in the Braita, Lakat mikulam kezayit. What do you mean, Lakat mikulam kezayit? Continuing now, discussing the menachot. If you're telling me Lakat mikulam kezayit, obviously means the pieces are not a kezayit. So it's got to be going, according to Rabbi Shmuel, holds you break it up into smaller than kezayit pieces. So if you get a kezayit altogether, and now you eat it, so if it's chametz, you're going to be chayav koreit. And if it's matzah, adam yotzei yedei chovato b'pesach. Now how can it be yotzei yedei chovato b'pesach on something that is b'chalal not considered to be a pot? It's not considered to be lechem. How can it be lechem only? According to you, it's not lechem. Well, says Rabbi Yosef, that's a good point, but you know what? That's talking about that you mixed it again, and you turned it back into a dough. Ochlemai askinan, v'sha'ar san. That's like the same lashon we have for challah. Reshit ariso techem. Arsan is the way, is the dough. You re-doughed it. So yeah, exactly. Same kind of thing that we do with matzah mill. I mean, except that, you know, there it was only baked. It wasn't, you know, tugan or any of the other things. But yeah.
So now it was unbaked?
No, it was baked. We're talking about maase tanur. We're talking about, or it was pancake. We don't have to be potato mincha soles, because it was soles and remains soles. But all of the other type of menachot that are baked or that are betugan, either in a machabat or a marcheshet, which we now need to do petitan in order to be mekayim kmitza. That's a problem. Tosfos has a big problem with the way Rashi learns the sugya, because how could it be a mincha can't be chametz? Therefore, he doesn't learn that this is referring back to the menachot. But let's stick to the simplest. No, that's a question of Lagabi Shabbos.
Right.
Nothing to do with our sugya right now. No. I don't know what is means. Is Lagabi what? What does is mean? Can you do such a thing? Yeah, you could do such a thing. Why would this have some impact on Shabbos?
Because it seems to be saying that there is Rishul, they're talking about changing the whole thing after this whole thing. So
there's never a question as to whether one can be Mavashal after Afiyah. I think that anybody who tried it finds that it's possible to do it, and nothing happens to you when you try to do it, or there's no energy type of issue in which the thing doesn't happen. The question is whether halakhically it's considered to be a separate Rishul, which may not have anything to do with our dinam of pot, but we'll see later on that we'll get into the details of that, especially when it comes to bagels. That's where we have that problem. Whether you can re-pot bagels. What profit do you make on a bagel? So, on a real bagel, a boiled bagel. Now, those are things that we're going to get into. So here it's talking about you made it back into a dough, and then you baked them. And therefore you make hamotzi on it. According to Rashi, you eat it however you want. The Rashi is learning this is for a reference to the menachot, which is problematic sound. But why not?
Okay,
you have a right to kitarach mishicha, the mashcha, it says. Derech hashibut. Says the Gemara, how can you say it's talking about kishir irsa? It says, Husha achlan b'fei achilat pras. You read, it says achlan. Achlan is lashon rabim. Where's the then? Which then? According to you, you rebaked it. There's no more then. There's it. It should say you ate it. But saying you ate then, it's not talking about b'shir san. It's talking about exactly what it says. You're malakate the pieces, you put them together, you now have a kezayit, which you didn't have before, and you eat this kezayit that you gathered together b'fei achilat pras. How are you going to try to stick in here that you turned it into one piece? Well, clearly we keep referring to it as Belashim Rabbi. So why does it say Ushach Lan Bekhfei Achilat Pras? Ibishir son, if it's talking about you baked it again, Haisha Achlan, you're telling me, quote, you eat them? You should say, Shachlo, mi boile, right? Okay, fine, you know what? Maybe we're talking about over here, Hachamai Askinan, Biba Milechem Gadol, talking about over here that you had a large piece. Again, Tosu says, this can't possibly be referring to Benachot. You have a large piece, you broke up only some of the piece, and you're left with the rest of it, and the rest of it provides the tzura of lechem, even for the pieces that you're eating now, which are not, it's as if you had on your table a large challah. And there were some crumbs. You're telling me that those crumbs in the presence of the challah are not considered to be lechem, because they don't have a tzura of pot? They're the remnants of the challah, that's all. So over here, if you have a lechem gadol, so Tosfos says, how could you possibly have a lechem gadol? You're talking about the menachot. You have to do the petita on the whole thing, by definition. You're supposed to do komets from the mincha, but the whole thing could be, is roy to go into your komets. Another reason not to accept Rashi's job, besides the im komets, which doesn't make any sense into mincha, can't be komets. In any event, if it's talking about bami lechem gadol, then says Rav Yosef, there I'm moda. That even if you don't have a kezayit, it's still called lechem. Okay, so can you tell me what? I mean, you confused us really good now. My hobby, Allah. Just tell me the bottom line. Om Rav Sheshes, the bottom line is that I chavitza afagav the lettei pirurim kezayit yivarech alav hamotzi lechem min haaretz. If it starts with bread, then even though you made a pudding out of it, you'd still say hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Says Rava, well, that's true, but there's always the but. For who deika alav turita dinahama. This is only if it still looks like bread. But if it doesn't look like bread, I mean, then, agreed, it's not a function of a kezayit. True. Not a function of pusot kayamot. But, I mean, it certainly gets to a point where it's unrecognizable. It's unrecognizable as bread. I mean, how can you possibly say how much you like a minaret on it? And therefore, again, halakha l'maaseh here would be extremely different sugya according to Rashi or according to Tosfos. According to Rashi, we have to say that if it was just bread and it lost its source of positive pudding, it wouldn't make a slightest difference. The only time we're introducing the idea of it's supposed to be recognizably bread is when it was boiled. But according to Tosis, the moment that you boil it, by definition, it doesn't have Tzuritza Dinahama. As a matter of fact, Tosis brings an interesting minhag of Rabbeinu David, who didn't have time to bench in the morning because he only had 5 minutes before the shear. But he needed to eat after davening in order to give the shear because he always got a headache. So he couldn't think straight. So how does he eat without benching? He had a real problem. So he came up with a simple solution. He boiled the bread. So now... But this could be ready before. He boiled it. He says he boiled it the night before. And then once you're malabing the bread, according to Tosafot, loses the teresa of lechem by definition. So now he ate his boiled bread. And that may, it's not the taste of this. He ate his, but it doesn't say what kind of stuff he put in there. I mean, it might have been French toast. And in doing that, he didn't have to bench. So he didn't have the time. But Ben Shalshim ran into the shear, and his head was mechuzai, as Tosafot
says. And on which toast he does it? If
you hold that boiling removes the tzur of the lechem, and you dip your French toast now in. I mean, that's how you make it, obviously. Some people don't.
No, that's not.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about freedom toast. Where do you come
from? How does freedom toast? Okay.
Red pudding.
That's the makor. You're going to stay here tomorrow, and then you'll have to the bathroom. Welcome home.
Thank you.